It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The next installment of our Red State, Blue State conversation explores red and blue ideas about energy and energy jobs.
All they have to do is buy a mining engineering magazine. It'll show them every block of coal in West Virginia, how many years of coal is in that block. The block that I'm going to go to work in right now, it's 30 years worth.
This is West Virginia Morning. In the past, President Trump has written off science and called climate change a total and expensive hoax. This week, Trump said in an interview with 60 Minutes that the climate is changing, but it's not man-made. It might reverse itself, and it's not worth losing millions of jobs over. After all, Trump has promised to jumpstart the struggling coal industry. Now these two related issues, climate change and energy jobs, get very different reactions depending on what part of the country you're in. And you'll hear those reactions in this installment of Red State, Blue State, our weekly chat between Trump country and the blue bubble.
I'm Trey Kay, host of the Us and Them podcast from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
And I'm Cherry Glazer, a host at KCRW in Santa Monica, California. Unofficial home of the Prius, the Tesla, and yes, the electric scooter.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about these e-scooters.
I bet. Now, those scooters might make you think that renewable energy is just a trendy thing out here in California, but it's a lot more than that. The state's energy policy calls for generating 100% of our electricity from renewable sources in less than 30 years. And a lot of people feel strongly about this because, well, we're seeing climate change before our very eyes.
Do you mean wildfires that we see on the national news?
Yeah, longer wildfire season, more heat waves, but also pollution that Californians just don't want to see come back again. Todd Mesereau covers cars and tech for KCRW, and he put it this way.
When I first got to L.A. in the late 80s, the air was not nearly as good as it is today. I mean, great strides have been made to keep the air clean, and it's a massive public health issue and personal health issue. So I'm definitely concerned about the push by some people to roll back clean air standards.
The push by some people, it sounds like Todd's talking about the Trump administration's approach to fuel emissions, right?
Cars, but also coal. I mean, the whole country has watched Trump's promises to coal country. And some Californians see it as moving the country backwards. I mean, we've got way more green energy jobs out here than there are coal miners. One listener we talked to named Martha Alkihai, she told us she's taking the long view.
In the long run, how do decisions we make now and votes we cast now and things we invest in now, in the long run, how will they impact my kids and my grandkids and everybody else's kids, right? If we really think about that, how our kids will look back on what we did now in our lives and will it be to their benefit or not, I think we make better decisions that way. And so whether we believe exactly in the science of global warming or not, we can see the results of pollution, right? We can see the results of us taking better care of our own backyard.
Now, Martha also had some questions for people in coal country, Trey.
Okay, hit me.
I would ask, you know, whether they are getting the right answers from their local and state officials about long-term planning for when there are no more coal jobs. So is enough money being invested in education? Because they may be able to hold on to their job right now in the coal industry, right? But what about their kids and their grandkids? Will they be able to get that kind of a job, or do they need to be prepared for a different kind of job? You know, everything is moving so fast that we have to prepare our kids to participate in the world or be left out.
So in a nutshell, I think the view from here is, do people in your neck of the woods really believe that coal is coming back? And if so, for how long and at what cost?
And I think these are really good questions, Cherry. And I put some of them to Jason Edwards. He's been a coal miner for 3 decades. And I talked with him and his wife, Jillian, at their home just recently over a breakfast of deer sausage, biscuits, and gravy.
There's still 400 years of mineable coal left in West Virginia. People in California, all they have to do is buy a mining engineering magazine. have it sent to their house. It'll show them every block of coal in West Virginia, how many years of coal is in that block. The block that I'm going to go to work in right now, it's a 13 million ton block, 30 years worth.
And since Trump took office, he said their county is pumping out coal. Actually, the word he used was puking out coal. And he says that the local mine is about ready to hire 30 new people. But Jason doesn't have a rosy view of the industry. He lost his leg in a mining accident, but felt compelled to go back into the mine 2 months after the amputation.
West Virginia would love not to have to crawl around in the mines. But we just don't want the mines shut down until they find a better way. People would love to find a better way. We just don't want to starve to death waiting for them to find one. I mean, that's like quitting a job before you have another one.
I think that he feels like there's literally no other option, zero, and that it's not his fault. There's plenty of coal in West Virginia, and it's needed in other parts of the world. I mean, 30% of the world's electricity comes from coal. West Virginia has an infrastructure in place to access and deliver it. For the most part, the tax laws and the political climate favor it. And nothing has come along to challenge its economic and political dominance in the state of West Virginia.
Or to take its place.
Right. Now, I talked about these economic realities with a guy named Chuck Smith. He's the former mayor of a town called Montgomery. And when someone like your listener, Marta, asks about local leaders, well, Chuck is who she's talking about.
There's nothing to sustain a family here, and particularly I'm talking about southern West Virginia, where coal mining was it, and it's still the main source of income, main source of jobs. And, you know, the education system is suffering greatly because there's no revenue from the coal industry. So when the coal mines go down in southern West Virginia, it doesn't just affect a job. It affects all kinds of jobs and all kinds of people. And Californians and New Yorkers who are very in tune to environmental situations with coal, I don't think they really understand the human impact of what they're promoting.
So, Cherry, it boils down to different parts of the country dealing with different realities. So when Californians ask if people in West Virginia really believe that Trump can bring coal back, I think it's more a matter of wanting to believe.
So where some Californians see a future with carbon as a threat, you're saying that there are a lot of people in your part of the world who don't feel they have the luxury to think about their grandkids. I mean, you know, they got to pay the rent, they got to put food on the table now.
Exactly. But it really depends on where in West Virginia you are, because as Chuck says, there is a rural and urban divide even here in Trump country. I talked with another regular Joe. Actually, his name is Joe Slack, and he works on a road maintenance crew for the West Virginia Turnpike. He lives in the town of Paint Creek.
The coal that we have right now won't make it through the next generation. They won't be able to retire in the coal mines. The government needs to try to push other industry into West Virginia, into the more rural areas like the Upper Kanawha Valley. There is nothing to do. There's nothing you can do to make a livable wage. And if you invest in all of the state will invest back into you.
So it sounds like people there may have different ideas about exactly how long this is all going to take to play out, but that many of them feel stuck.
Yeah, or trapped in a mine.
Okay, well, we'll be taking on another tough issue next week, immigration. Thanks a lot, Trey.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week, Cherry.
You're listening to Red State, Blue State, a weekly chat between Trump country in West Virginia and the blue bubble in Southern California. Trey and Cherry would like to hear from you. Californians wanted a better understanding of Joe Manchin. Is there something that you'd like to understand better about Californians? Let us hear from you. Look for Red State, Blue State online at wvpublic.org. Acoustic guitarist Leo Kottke has a career that spans five decades. This weekend, you can hear his 10th appearance on Mountain Stage. But for now, here's our song of the week, Pizza Towers to Defeat, from Kottke's 2002 album, Clone.
is a true story. You've been stealing a menudo from the back of pizza towers. That was the beginning of the start. You've been taking a tequila up until the after hours. But don't you take it too hard. It's been 5 long years since you robbed the train to Chico. Now you're in the back of a truck. But that's what's from robbing the last train to Chico. So goodbye and Enrico, good luck. Nixon by that plane in San Bernardino. Tell him he relied on blush too much. And did he smile and say he trusts you wearing running shoes? Was his pardon for your felonies a crutch? It's been 5 long years since you robbed the train to Chico. Now you're in the back of a truck. But that's what's from robbing the last train to Chico. So goodbye and Enrico, good luck. It's been 5 long years since you robbed the train to Chico. Now you're in the back of a truck. But that's what's from robbing the last train to Chico. So goodbye and Enrico, good luck. So goodbye and Enrico.
Again, Leo Kottke singing Pizza Towers to Defeat. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.